We're back for episode 39 of Video Games Are Hard, 39 weeks in a row. Consecutive weeks, our record of Video Games Are Hard podcast. Welcome to the podcast. It's me, it's Sider Williams, it's Average Trey.
Who is this we? Well, it's Sid and then it's me, Average Trey. That's right.
This is how we intro the podcast, is we're sitting here. These video games are hard. Video games are difficult. We are notorious for talking about games that are hard all the time.
That's all we ever do.
We've never
talked about anime, never talked about Bo Burnham's Inside.
Nope.
Never. Only never, hard video games.
Only hard, and Yoshi's Woolly World, get out of here. We don't talk about that either. That's easy. But
Kirby's Forgotten Land, get in here because it's out now.
Is it really hard?
Probably not, but I saw a couple people streaming it. I don't plan on getting it, but I will watch some streams occasionally. So
it's a question mark still, so we're still allowed to talk about it.
Yes.
When it's determined that it's not difficult, we aren't allowed to talk about it anymore.
Wait, I don't know if I just like am misremembering. Was the Crystal Shards on 64 actually sort of hard for a Kirby game? Or no?
I don't think so. I could see that. Yeah, probably.
I could have sworn I heard that somewhere. I'm not really sure if that was true though.
I don't know. Some of the boss battles when I was like 11 were difficult.
Okay. Well, I mean, 11, yeah. That's not even that young. That's like...
Yeah.
That's
or like 9.
You could argue 11's like peak gaming skill years in
oh,
some way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because
you know
your mind has just been, it's in the malleable phase of like what you're doing, you're learning extremely fast. So.
Do you know what's difficult in Kirby and the Crystal Shards?
What's up?
100%ing that game.
Is it just hard to find everything or
It is difficult to find everything. There's like, you have to combine the Kirby powers. Like, some of the crystals are hidden by like colored things that you have to match the colors to, where it's just like, oh, lightning is yellow and brown is rock.
All right, it's the matching color game, right?
it's the matching color game. And then
so
there's
intense.
Like, there's one thing that I don't even know if I understand yet. There's like a screen with a big set of Kirby boxes, just like in a square. And in the one before it, in the room before it, there's the painter girl in... Do you know anything I'm talking about? The painter girl? Do you know
the painter girl? No, not even remotely.
And she's painting something. And based on what she's painting, you have to go into the next room and like make the boxes into the shape that she's painting. And I don't even quite know that if I understand it even now.
Interesting.
And I think I like 98% of that game when I was a kid.
Hey, and you know, you did more than I did in Hollow Knight.
97.2%.
I got 97%. So you completed Kirby the Crystal Shards by 1% more.
What do we count our... So we were talking about the top 10 video games or top 10 hardest video games we've ever beaten before we started recording.
Yeah.
What does beaten mean? What's the...
Like just getting to the credits, beating it.
Just getting to the credits? Okay.
Yeah, not 100%ing it.
All right.
Yeah, we had a theory for a future episode. We were talking about how KO has been on here every episode, or like any episode that has a 3 in it,
yeah,
KO's been on. It just happened to work out that way for some reason.
Yeah, 3, 13, and 30.
So we're theorizing episode 43 would be like top 10 hardest video games we've beaten, or maybe that we've just played in general. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
One of those two.
Well, we'll figure that out, but...
Yeah, we're not really sure yet.
I don't know how many really difficult games KO's beaten. Terraria, that's it.
That's the only game he's beaten.
And the only reason it's difficult is because it sucks. Got him.
Yeah, we're judging that based on 3 hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, to be fair, it was difficult.
To be fair, it was like 5 hours.
Dude, it was like 5 hours total. We did try it twice.
We never even played a single boss.
I don't know what a boss means. Hey, you know what they should have done in Terraria? Like, in Elden Ring, you step outside, you try to kill a boss, and you die, and then you get reset and all that stuff, and then you walk outside, and there's a different boss.
You know what they should have done was just start in the Undead Asylum, and you have, like, a boss immediately, and then just make it Dark Souls, then it's good.
Just set the tone early on in Terraria instead of going, like, okay, well, you gotta, like, be on the surface for a bit.
It's like, hey, so it's Minecraft except with one fewer dimension until, 10 hours in, here's some epic bosses. What?
Here's some fun. Welcome to the fun. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, well.
Or the first part, it's like, man, I wish I was just playing Minecraft.
Yeah, and then when they say welcome to the fun, you're just sitting there going like, oh, there was. Well, we say welcome to the fun. We don't know where the fun is. Do we know?
I think we were like on fun's door. I think if we pushed like two more hours, we might have been the biggest Terraria fans ever.
Is there any other game you've stopped that you were on fun's door?
Well, how would I know? If I knew I was on fun's door, I would have kept pushing.
Well, the only reason we know we were on fun's door was because of KO.
I'm picturing the meme of the guy digging for the diamonds and stopping just short of it. Like, that's us with Terraria.
And it's like SpongeBob, like FUN on the other side.
Yeah, for some reason, because the fun song is fun, yes.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing I can think of that's like like obviously fun. Unless you want to do like, oh, it's a sun.
Is this gonna be a future thumbnail?
I don't know.
Just have that meme, and then the one who gets it gets to the fun song from SpongeBob
on fun's door, on the precipice.
That's
of fun.
That's a good visualization. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just talk about this for an hour and a half.
And then, yeah, that'll get us through. Okay. Then, well. All right. Did you watch the new like Harry Potter gameplay footage trailer?
No.
I have watched it twice.
There's a new Harry Potter game. Oh, wait, PlayStation 5 one?
The Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, okay. No, I have not seen
the
trailer.
They announced it like a couple years ago, and recently they put up like very in-depth gameplay footage, what to expect, cutscenes, exploring the castle, outside the castle, all this stuff for it.
Sure.
You might want to check it out. It's pretty dope looking.
Okay.
Quan was raving about it.
Quan raves about a lot of things.
And I don't know if I'll get the game yet. It does definitely look interesting. You know, I noticed in the trailer they said over and over again, challenging puzzles. It's got challenging puzzles. These puzzles will challenge you. And I'm sitting there like, is it going to be like a Steven Sausage Roll kind of challenge or just flick your wand over here kind of challenge?
Is it Uncharted tier where it's just like,
is
okay,
it the
you
witness?
Walk into this? Yeah, there's definitely like different tiers of challenges with it. Where it's just like, is it a casual puzzler challenge or is it just like, is it the hardest of hardcore? You're going to be staring at this puzzle for 3 hours.
Is it a puzzle of find the hidden passageway or like solve this crossword puzzle? Like, I don't know.
Oh, do you see this like it's like Super Mario Odyssey where the tiles in Princess Peach's castle are just like slightly elevated. It's like, oh, you got to walk on that. It's like, okay, cool, great.
But yeah, you know, they showed some combat. You're using your wand. There's all different kinds of skills you can use. Apparently, you can combine different skills to you can sort of make your personalized combat style when fighting other. I don't know whatever the enemies in Harry Potter are. Gremlins.
We're talking about Harry Potter. We're talking about Harry Potter. Okay.
You know, and we did marathon the whole septilogy. Is that the word?
Okay, yeah.
No, I guess,
sure.
What, the seventh movie was in two parts there, right?
Yeah, so it's an eight.
Octilogy.
Yeah.
We're making that word up if it's not real.
Yeah, I don't think it's real.
we marathoned the movies around the time COVID started, like us and the good people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's somewhat fresh in our minds, the lore and whatnot. So perhaps we would get quite a bit more out of it than had we not done that, if we do play the game. I guess it's also going to be on PC and stuff too. So like this would have been like possibly my moment to justify getting a PlayStation. And so they're like, oh, it's on Switch and PC now. Okay, well, maybe I won't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if the combat doesn't get stale, it could be a banger. If the combat gets stale, that might be like the make or break for me, personally.
I don't know what like the combat thing. Like what I'm thinking right now is I've broken Trey. Okay, this is my thought. Right.
I would like to hear more of this.
All right. So when we started the podcast, you were a speedrunner through and through. Talking about casual games was like a far like on the far beaten path.
Oh yeah, you know during season one, I was very much. Well, not even necessarily. Season one, I was, because in 2020, I wasn't really speedrunning that much, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was on the way out.
You were on the way out. And then it's just like, oh, you should play Dark Souls. And now you're like a Dark Souls fiend and Elden Ring. And you're like, oh, what, 107 hours into Elden Ring?
I am 120 hours into Elden Ring. I've been finding every nook and cranny, like exploring every inch of the world. So
I think I'm like 20... 8 hours in, something like that. Not too bad.
Not bad, not bad. I mean, you've been actually doing other stuff too. My free time has been either watching The Sopranos, going to the gym, or playing Elden Ring. So
nice.
One of those three things.
But you talking about potentially getting the Harry Potter game, I'm sitting here going like, oh, Harry Potter? Nah. You know? I think Harry Potter,
well,
I'm like, yeah, I don't really know.
I'm a little bit on the fence. I think I want to wait until I hear if it's good or not.
Uh-huh.
And then check it out.
Did you read the books?
I read the first 4.5 books. I got bored halfway through the fifth one.
I got bored halfway through the fourth one. So
because the fifth one, I was like, oh, it's so long. Oh, no, I'm scared.
I thought the fourth one was long. How long is the fifth
one? Dude, the fourth one was like my favorite because it had the Tri-Wizard Tournament and it was, oh, my God, the interesting scenarios happening.
But see, I remember reading the fourth one and I'm just like, I was 100 pages in and they hadn't gotten to Hogwarts. I'm just like, I'm okay.
Yeah, when we marathon the movies, I thought the third might have been my favorite movie, to be honest.
The third's a pretty good movie.
Like, I remember the first time I saw the third, I didn't get much out of it, but the second time seeing it, I was like, and you know, Dapper would agree, it's kind of woke. So
it is definitely woke.
It's a woke movie.
I do like some time travel.
Yeah.
I appreciate some time travel. One of my favorite movies is The Edge of Tomorrow, and that's like kind of Groundhog Day, but like war.
Like time travel, it's hard to do right, but when it's done right, it's really interesting.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I remember seeing on YouTube. I don't remember if I was looking at it or somebody. I saw it on somebody's stream on their YouTube, but they recommended a video being like, "Oh, why the third Harry Potter movie is trash?" And I'm just and I was just like, "Nah, I'm okay.
I wonder what the like to dislike ratio on that was."
Well, we wouldn't know now.
There's no way to know now.
Well, except for if you get the before, extension.
Okay, don't extension mention, all right? The extension is just like a last cry of desperation.
Yeah.
Especially for like new videos coming out because dislikes being removed like in general already more than tainted what the like to dislike ratio would have been originally.
Yeah.
So just being able to see them, you're not getting a good picture still because fewer people are actually using the dislike feature now because it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's just like, oh well, what am I going to do? I'm going to dislike it to the blob, ethereal blob,
to the people who have the extension. That like, I don't know. I think anyone who argues the extension is like perfectly fine. It's like, you know, it's the best they can do, but it's already ruined. So yeah,
there are also those videos. It's just like, oh, this video has this many dislikes, like in the title.
That started with Tom Scott's "This has like so many views" video.
Yeah, I don't know how any of that stuff works.
It's some coding bullshit. I wouldn't understand.
It's some coding bullshit. Okay, perfect.
Because I'm not a coder, so I wouldn't know.
But yeah, so I've broken Trey. Now he's considering getting every casual game ever.
Oh hey, I'm not getting Kirby.
You're not getting Kirby?
Nah, I'll probably just watch it. I mean, I feel like it's Kirby. You get the idea.
Yeah, I was willing to buy Elden Ring because I'm just like, this is going to be the biggest game of all time. I'll fork out the 80 Canadian dollars. Why not? And then play it for 3 hours and get bounced right off of it. But then I've been playing it lately. So we're okay. We're okay. Everybody don't get mad at me. I've actually been playing Elden Ring. I've fought another Burial Watchdog. I've fought three of them now.
Oh, snap.
And I beat the third one first try.
Because you're a pro at those now because you've seen them.
Yeah, and also I have a shield that blocks all physical now. So
that's a game changer right there.
That helps me a fair bit.
I don't know why. In my mind, I still feel like I'm low-key cheating when I just like block an attack. I feel like this inner force is like I have to roll or it doesn't count.
Yeah.
You know that feeling?
Yeah, no, I exactly know that feeling because I have the exact same feeling.
Yeah.
I'm
the same way with Ash summons. I'm like, I will always try a boss a few times without the Ash summon. And then if I'm like, dude, I don't want to like spend the time learning this. I'm just going to use an Ash summon and win.
Yeah.
It makes it so much easier.
I have not used an Ash summon yet. I beat, who's the grafted guy? I beat the grafted guy.
Ooh, the grafted guy.
Yeah. He's like the second stage of the castle or whatever, the last stage of the castle. I can't remember. And so I beat him like five tries in, but like it didn't feel like people are just like, man, I've been grinding this boss for like 3 hours. It took me like an hour to get five attempts in because like he wouldn't kill me. And then I'd die halfway through and I felt like shit.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I beat that guy. But yeah, I've been picking at it. I've been exploring. I don't really know where to go right now. I feel like I'm at the start of the game again, where it's just like there's this open area.
Wait, so you finished Stormveil Castle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's pretty much where I'm at. And then I like beat, I think, a one, what are they called? Cave?
Catacomb? Cave.
Catacomb.
I mean, there's multiple names for them.
Yeah, I beat a catacomb. And I was just like, okay.
Did you restore your first great rune in the Divine Tower?
No.
Because the first one is pretty like out in the open, but like future ones, you got to actually like search around for those.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by saying that out loud. I know that after I beat the grafted guy, it had a pop-up being like, oh, your runes won't work. I'm like, I haven't been I don't know what that means. And I just kept going.
Your runes? Oh, yeah. Like you get a great rune, but you got to like restore it in a divine tower. Yeah.
Perfect.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know what? I will as I continue the game. But yeah, that's my Elden Ring update.
Okay. Well, for me, I guess I'll give mine now that we're talking about it.
Sure.
I've been exclusive. You know the weird like physic of the wondrous physic where you can like combine two things.
I do.
And you have one flask you like always have for like certain effects.
Mm-hmm.
I have exclusively been using the artificial twig-esque power you can get for that.
Okay.
Because I can simply drink it if I think I'm going to die in the near future. Die and always keep my runes, and it totally changes the game for me, because in the past, if I was like sort of far away from like a great site or a, you know, a bonfire, I'd be like, well, you know, I would test jumping down from this ledge, except if I die here, I may not be able to retrieve it, and I don't know if it'll kill me or not. But with this flask, I can just drink it, test it. Oh, I died, I kept my runes, whatever. So it's pretty OP for like, you know, figuring things out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just combine that with, I believe, like a removing poison thing, because that's always good to have.
Mm-hmm, so for sure.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just use like, an up physical attack thing that I have. That's it.
And you know, it's possible by using that, I'm sort of like not using the full utility of it, because like I could be using something that like actually helps me out. Keeping your runes isn't like really helpful if you just don't die.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's a double-edged sword, but it's definitely useful for going through blinds. You get blindsided, you're like, oh, well, I got my runes. So good.
Perfect. Yeah. Do you use the like the first thing that the game gives you is like, oh, you have this homeward bone essentially that just removes all of your runes.
I have never used that.
I don't even understand why it exists. Just
I
die.
Think, well, the dark sign in the Souls games, I think the games have to have that item in the event you get to a weird softlock position situation.
Okay.
Because you can't always teleport. If you're like inside a catacomb, you're not allowed to teleport to a grave site.
Okay.
So if somehow by some way you softlock somewhere and there's absolutely nothing to do, then you have that option.
And then you use the dark sign or the whatever grace.
Yeah, it's basically the anti-softlock feature of the game.
That's perfect. You know, that makes sense. I don't like that they immediately equipped it to, like, top of the pouch. I'm just like, just get this out of here. I don't know what this
is. Yeah, I think it's sort of like a noob trap. If you don't realize you can just teleport, you're like, oh, I have to use this thing? Okay.
Yeah. Teleporting, you just have to... Dude, Elden Ring, realizing you can teleport everywhere is so overpowered, because you're just like, oh, okay, well, I have to make it to the next site of grace or whatever, and I'm just like, I'm gonna teleport to go back. I literally lost like 20,000 souls because I was playing Dark Souls 1 in my brain,
you told me about that. Yeah,
I was in a castle and I was going through it, and I was just like, I was killing all these hard things, hard bosses or whatever, and I was just like, oh, I need to get across the bridge, I need to get back across the bridge to the site of grace, and earn my or like level up my character or whatever. I'm like, okay, I could do this. And it was that one in Caelid where there's catapults being shot at it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, okay, I've managed this bridge from the other side many times, okay? But it's the opposite direction. Might be even easier. Don't know. Can't see the fucking catapults. And I just started going across it, and I started, like, randomly jumping with the horse, and I died. And I'm like, okay, this will be fine. I could just go back across and get my runes. Totally okay. And I choked the bag.
Oof.
And I, like, I was just like, oh, there's 20 grand on the other, 20 grand runes on the other side. Maybe that's not a lot to you, but to me, at that moment, it was a lot. And
oh yeah, right now that's like nothing to me.
Yeah, I think it was like three levels for me at the time.
Yeah,
because I was at Caelid pretty early. Caelid,
yeah, that's rough.
Caelid really rejuvenated my inspiration to play this game, because I was just like, oh, this is actually kind of interesting. This like red area, I don't know.
I do like how like different regions have a very vastly different color palette.
Yeah,
because the main starting area, it's very green. If you go north, it's very yellow. Caelid is very red, and then where I am now, like the Forgotten Land, it's very white and snowy.
Oh, you're playing Kirby?
Or wait, I don't know if it is Forgotten Land. It's Forgotten something.
And the Forgotten Land is very pink.
And you know? Yeah, and very very car-y and coney. And,
oh wow, that's crazy! I put some
wait,
I
it's
put
not
a tarp on
the
car.
I don't know, Forgotten like Giants. Place or something. I don't fucking know. It's a snowy place, right?
You're further than me. I don't know. There's the place underneath. There's the place below. And then there's Caelid. And then there's the first step place. And then and then there's another place. I don't quite know.
And then there's
any
also
names.
There's underground is like very blue and black, I guess. So yeah.
Can you tell me one thing? All right.
All right. I can tell you one thing.
Oh yeah, I choked the bag about the bridge. I tried to cross back. I choked the bag. Whatever. I didn't get mad. I don't get mad. I get even.
You never get mad.
Yeah,
no, dude, I definitely get mad. If I died to like some bullshit thing, I'm like, what the fuck? This game sucks.
I sit there and go like, shit.
Actually, you know what's funny? I get a lot more mad off stream than on stream. Because when I'm streaming the game, which I do occasionally, I try to appear as cool, calm, and collected as possible. Like, oh, this is fine. You know.
Fair.
I'm doing this boss over and over again. This is cool. This is chill. When I'm offline, I guess I feel like I'm more wasting my time because no one else is seeing me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, fuck, I got to do this thing again? Damn it. Well, more like in my head, not usually out loud, but like, yeah.
You just get like, you boil over.
Yeah. It's a lot. Ironically, you wouldn't expect to get as mad if you're not streaming, but I do get more mad off stream. It's weird.
Okay. So my question was,
okay.
So there's this bridge, right? And it's
and
in
you
like
choke the bag to it.
No, okay, different bridge. There's so many bridges in this game.
That's why you love it, because it's like Minecraft.
Oh, I love bridges.
Actually, I think you prefer the making the bridge part, though.
Yeah.
They already made it for you.
So. They've made it and broken it. They're all broken.
They're breaking bridges for you.
Okay, so there's this bridge that ends, like, like the end of the broken part of it is, like, the other side of Stormveil Castle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm thinking about? Like the first area, area in the green area, and then there's the bridge with like not the old hag. I don't really.
Yeah, is there like a finger reader in front of it?
Is it a finger reader? Like,
the old like I can read your fingers.
Yeah, that her.
Yeah.
Okay, so this bridge continues, and then you can get to the other side.
Uh huh.
And I explored that area, but I never. Like before beating Stormveil Castle, I went down the like pathway to the right, that like this long circular path that ended at that bridge. And I was like, no shot this was here before, because I've explored this. Like,
yeah.
Somehow, like, I beat Stormveil Castle. I went down to the path to the right and went to the other side of that bridge, was able to jump on that bridge again and then cross back over. And I was like, no way. Was it differently broken? Like, did me beating Stormveil Castle make it so that that bridge was now crossable?
I have no idea. I didn't experience that myself.
Like, it was right, and I was sitting there, like, I was just confused. I was just, because then you would be able to just skip Stormveil Castle. And I definitely explored that direction.
There's definitely been occasional moments where I'm like, there's literally no way in hell I could have missed this boss fight or this how to get to this place quicker or something.
Yeah.
Because one time, like, a boss fight was right outside a grave site I've been to like many, many hours ago. Uh-huh. And I was like, how the hell did I miss? I realized later that it was an area that you could previously just like walk through to get somewhere else. And it becomes a boss fight later on somehow.
Oh, okay.
And I think random little things just sort of change invisibly in a way.
Yeah.
So it could have been like that.
Because I think it was because I think the bridge itself was like broken in the middle. Uh-huh. And you couldn't cross to the other side of the bridge.
You're saying the bridge fixes itself?
So I think the bridge fixes itself. This is like me like exploring a week and a half ago, and then me last night being like, wait, this wasn't this didn't. So it's not. I wasn't like paying attention to. I remember what podcast I was listening to when I was exploring it the first time, but that's it.
I could have sworn like if you asked me right now, I would bet that bridge is still broken for me at this moment.
Yeah.
But I haven't been there in so long. Maybe it's fixed for me. I don't know.
But like right after Stormvale. So like it would make sense that you can't go to the other side of Stormvale until you beat this thing. Also, so you say like this game's super open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Stormvale like that. Isn't Stormvale like kind of a huge bottleneck, or am I crazy?
A bottleneck in my way.
Well, you can like go to Caelid and you can stay in your first area and you go underneath into the town beneath. I don't know what the fuck it's called anymore. But like on the other side of Caelid or on the other side of Stormvale Castle, there's like this huge wide open area.
Yeah.
That you can't get to.
Yeah, you gotta go through Stormvale first.
Yeah, so there isn't no bottlenecks in this game.
Yeah, there's occasional things you gotta get through to get to later regions.
Okay. To
get to like the snowy place, you got to do all kinds of stuff to unlock that.
You got to do all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of runes and great runes and maidens, hopefully.
Okay, sure. Well, I've heard that everybody's maidenless at the start. So,
dude. Well, yeah, you were maidenless too.
Do you know what joke I'm so tired of Elden Ring related?
Try fingers butthole.
No.
That never gets old. You're right.
I've never seen that.
It's like, or Fortnite.
Oh, I've seen that. Just, one,
you've seen the message Fortnite before.
I've seen Fortnite. Yeah, I've seen Fortnite.
It never gets old.
Fortnite. Sorry, okay, fair. But yeah, I'm glad that I I was on the precipice of fun, and now
what joke never gets old or does get old?
Oh, it was the maidenless joke.
Oh,
like
well, yeah,
every streamer when they started playing is like, I'm maidenless. It's like, no, bro, but she went to another school. I'm like, I'm so sick of this joke right away.
Yeah, I will admit I only added to that fuel to that fire. So I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, Trey.
I made the very obvious joke that's cliche.
So I clawed through to the precipice of fun or past the precipice of fun.
How do we word it?
I don't know. The doorway.
We were on the doorstep of fun or something.
There was fun on the other side of something, and we got to it. Or something. When did you pass the precipice into fun for Elden Ring, or was it right away?
For me, I was pretty into it right away. I was like, dude, this world's huge. I don't even know where to go. Let's go.
I'm gonna explore not south.
Although, I mean, there was like a pretty not fun overall environment at some points early on because you're so weak and you keep encountering these like high level areas you have no chance in.
Yeah.
And like, when do I get to a place I actually have a chance in? And then you eventually find that place, you gain momentum, you get some level ups, and you're good to go.
Do you know what I've found really lame? After exploring Caelid and getting like a shit ton of runes, going back on the like actual progression path with Stormvale Castle and stuff.
And you get like no runes.
You get like no runes. And I'm just like,
but yeah, you're Caelid, you're meant to go to later.
Yeah, but like I'm like some of the enemies that I'm encountering in Caelid that are giving me 500 plus runes are like way weaker enemies than what I'm experiencing here. I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's the big fucking in Stormvale Castle. There's this big blob monster with so many legs. Like they look grafted as well with like a bunch of shields and they're just like in a, I don't even know how to explain.
Oh, the big ass dude inside a kitchen. That guy, I could not beat that guy early on.
I ended up sticking it out.
I came back to that place later. I was like, I'll beat it now. Fuck it.
Yeah. And I did it because I had the physical, the 100 physical shield. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to be easy for me. I have a bunch of stamina. I'm level 20 or 30 something. I don't even know. And I'm a pretty high level for where I'm at. I'm fine. So I'll beat this level. And he gave me like 1,500 souls or 1,500 runes. I'm just like, this sucks.
That's actually a big point. I watched Video Game Donkey's recent Elden Ring video that came out. And a big critic, like, he mostly praises the game. It's like a masterpiece. It's a huge game, whatever.
Yeah.
He does provide some criticism, though, mainly in the balancing department. Sure. He's like, I'm criticizing this game not because it's bad, but because it's incredible, but just lacking in balance.
Yeah.
And it, particularly in, because he's like, there's this enemy, it's literally a pole. It can't turn around. I beat it, I get 3,000 experience. Then you have this dude who has all these moves. He can kill you in like one shot. How much does he give you? Also 3,000. So it's like very, very weird balancing of like how many runes you get for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also the way they balance, like there's like a big late game difficulty spike you eventually encounter where enemies just have like crazy combos and do like so much damage in one hit.
Sure.
And it's believed they did that so that you wouldn't just like level up by doing all this stuff in early game and just steamroll the ending. They balanced it around assuming you would find all this stuff, be really over leveled, and just like accommodate for that like difficulty wise, I guess.
Yeah.
So like late game enemies have just like insane like 7, 8, 9 hit in a row combos, and they do a ton of damage too. It's like, oh, figure it out.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of difficulty, I encountered yesterday what I believe to be, could be the hardest boss I've faced in a Soulsborne game if you didn't have Ash summons and etc. and like ways around stuff in this game.
Uh-huh.
And it was essentially, and those who've played this game and have made it pretty far will know what I'm talking about, it was essentially Ornstein and Smo on crack.
Okay.
And it was the Godskin brothers. They had the like Godskin something other. I call them the Foreskin brothers, personally. Sure.
You would.
I would do that. And dude, like, they are fucking relentless. Like, each of them individually is quite difficult. Together, they just don't let it. They have like projectiles. They have fire that can put like in a ring around them. They have all these crazy sword combos. You got like memorize the, oh, if he starts with this slash, I got to know like this specific roll timing for two people overlapping doing like simultaneous stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I had to use an Ash summon. I had like a really good plus 10 thing going on. That helped tremendously. And I have like a weapon. It's a really nice, I think one of like the legendary greatswords you get for beating some other boss in late game.
Sure.
It has like a really good special ability where like it slams down and creates this like forward zooming fissure thing. Like it goes pretty far as well.
Cool.
And I kept, and also in the room itself, there's environmental things to help you, like little, not columns. I'm just going to call them columns. There are six columns in the room you can like sort of hide behind to help out.
Uh-huh.
And actually, like when one of the enemies gets to his second phase form, he gains this rolling ability where he can like actually break those columns.
Okay.
So he breaks the columns, but the base remains intact. So you can still hide behind the base in a way. And when he does this rolling move, he can roll anywhere from like 3 to 10 seconds, just like rolling around really high speed. It's very deadly. You got to watch out for it.
Uh-huh.
But I found a really nice cheese where he goes into second phase. He does his rolling move. You can get him in a way where he rolls continuously into the nub of the column. It can never reach you.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, when he's doing this, his partner in Foreskin Crime doesn't ever attack. I noticed this little like weird AI thing where the other guy will literally just stand there while he's rolling. I guess so you don't get like too overwhelmed or something.
Okay.
So I got into a position where he's rolling towards me. He can't reach me. He's stuck behind this nub of a column. Other guy just standing there. I just keep spamming my like special fissure ability on him. And eventually won that way.
on which one? The one that's rolling?
The fat guy who's rolling at me.
Oh, okay.
And then actually, so you essentially have to beat each of them twice, because you beat one of them, they have a combined pool of health.
Sure.
And if you defeat one of them, the other guy will eventually spend time reviving the guy. Uh-huh. But it's not based on beating each individually. It's just whittle down either one for enough health, then they just both die.
Oh, okay.
There's like a big pool of a health bar, like the big health bar, and they each have their own personal health bar as well.
So it's not like the knight fight that I the what was it what's it called again the double knight fight that I saw you do where they had
oh no
two separate
see,
health
yeah
bars.
The double crucible knight
yeah
they you actually just have to kill both of them then you win.
Yeah,
this one is like a pooled health bar of I don't know roughly four of these guys, but you just like have to whittle them down. You could literally just only attack one of them. And then the other guy revives it, attack the guy again, he revives it. As long as you do enough damage to either of them, you win.
Yeah, so you just dedicated your time to when he was doing the roll move, just...
Yeah, so basically I had a strat where I had him in this rolling cycle. I kill that guy. While the other guy is reviving him, I kill him, and then go back and forth.
Sure.
And without that weird cheese, plush the ass... Oh yeah, plush the ass summon is what I'm gonna say.
No, that sounds right.
So if that cheese didn't exist and there was no ash summon, the foreskin duo would have been like probably the hardest boss in the whole game for me.
Yeah,
if not the whole Soulsborne series. But luckily, these cheesy options exist, so that's good.
Is there a part of you that wants to like go back and try it?
No,
without no.
I have no clue how you would do this fight with like just like a regular sword. Legitimately, it's insane.
But what if you had a shield that has 100 physical block?
One guy would whittle it down, other guy would roll into you and fuck you up, and yeah, it's not fun. See, Ornstein and Smough, it works because one guy is like really light and fast and zooms into you. Other guy is like sort of like waddling in the background with a big hammer.
Yeah.
You can lure the small guy into you by like running away while the fat guy's kind of far away.
Yeah.
And like whittle him down from there. This thing, they're of like pretty equal speed, so they're always just like overlapping each other and like fucking you up.
Dude,
so.
It seems like that's like when they have combined fights. I've only done one combined fight, like two boss fight so far, and it was in like it was in a Caelid just castle, and I think in the same castle I was just talking about where you just like you leave with catapults or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's the Lionel and it's Crucible Knight.
Oh, right. I think I haven't even found that fight yet.
So I found the fight. I fought it like three times. I'm like, there's no shot. And
I know you found it. I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I know. Like I did, and I went in and I'm just like, oh, what kind of fight? It's like, oh, it's another Lionel. Oh, I've beaten the Lionel. We're okay. Uh-huh. And then like, I don't know, a quarter of his health down. It was just like, oh, Crucible. But I just died to the Lionel. And I'm like, I just see another health bar pop up, Crucible Knight. And I'm just like, yeah, there's no shot.
Oh,
like,
wait, was this in Caelid?
Yeah.
Oh, it actually did do this. This is actually where you get the sword that I'm using right now.
Oh, okay, cool.
From this fight.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a couple weeks. Like I hadn't beaten Margit yet. Like that's how different my playthrough is right now.
The thing about Crucible Knight is interesting because he is one of the hardest enemies until you learn how to 1v1 him, and then he's like pretty easy.
Yeah.
You just have to learn the parry timing with like different sword swipes that he does, and then you're pretty good to go.
Sure, so. I'll fuck with that, but doing it at the same time as a Lionel fight, and maybe not the...
Yeah, it's... when I did it, I had to just like focus only the Lionel guy, take care of him, and then just 1v1 the other guy. I was strong enough when I got there that I was actually like a viable option.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because I got there, I was like over level 100, so I was like...
Oh. Yeah, I'm not there.
I just like first tried it.
Exploring that castle, I think I was like level 20.
Yeah, so something. You probably have no shot.
I got a better sword. I'm now just like clad like the soldiers because I got like all the armor that they had was just mm-hmm. way better than mine. And they gave me a sword and I'm just like, oh, okay, this is just better than the falchion that I was using. Great. And then,
yeah, I think if I was your level in your situation, even I may not be able to do that.
I did leave, so you got
okay.
me.
Okay, there you go.
I did have to end up leaving, but
I think so, actually, I think that's the fight Samurai Man made a video tutorial on.
Yeah,
I thought it was Crucible Knight, but I think he actually meant that one. So.
Speaking of the Samu. So we did the Samu pod last week, and that was fun.
Yep.
It was a good time. Did you know that he did a stream where he, like, I think he was playing Paper Mario, and he just listened to the pod.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. I saw him playing Paper Mario, but anyway, he did that.
He had it on, Sam was telling me about it.
That sounds like it'd be confusing, like people coming into the stream thinking that he's actually talking right now. It's like, no, it's just a recording.
I couldn't stay there for long because I couldn't. I couldn't just sit there and listen to us talk about stuff on the podcast, on a stream. Like, I've listened to our podcast before, but like listening to it, watching somebody play a game and looking at chat kind of respond to it at the same time, I'm just like, nah, I can't do this. I'm breaking. I'm dying inside. So I had to leave. But that was a cool thing that Samu did.
That's cool.
So I'm
assuming he had his own mic muted for that?
I wasn't there for long enough to know. Okay. But I think he was.
Just like typing in chat?
Maybe. It would be all conjecture for me. But yeah, he was just like, listen to this pod. I'm just like, okay. He was happy. He had like exclamation point podcast in the title. I'm like, oh, this is cute.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just had like literally like two more quick notes in Elden Ring.
No, sure. What I was just wanted to mention that for a sec because it came up.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Go for it.
There was a weird thing where like a random fortress in the snowy place, a certain enemy type, there was always an invader-esque name tag over it.
Uh-huh.
I forget the name. Oh, it was Flame Guardians. I wrote it down here. For some reason, the Flame Guardians enemy always has the name Flame Guardians above their health bar.
Okay.
And I feel like it's a glitch because, you know, usually you see some kind of name for an AI invader. Like, that's normal. But this wasn't even invader. This is just like a regular respawning enemy, Flame Guardian. It's just, it has its name for some reason. And I was like, it made me think, like, what if every enemy just had their name over the health bar, like every enemy? And then I realized, like, it seems like a good idea on paper, but in practice, you may get to a room where you have, like, eight of the same enemy.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, the name everywhere on your screen.
See, so it would be even worse. Have you been to, like, those areas where two different factions are fighting each other?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
Like, just like, I remember just being in Caelid, just kind of exploring, and I sat on top of a mountain watching a pack of dogs, like, the giant Caelid dogs, killing, or, like, fighting the soldiers.
Oh, right.
And I just kind of sat up there watching, and it's fun to just, like, sit up there watching, because you're just like, oh, go, big dog, go, go, soldier, or whatever, and you earn the runes. Like, as they die, you get the runes, so I'm just sitting there going, like, I could just... I'm using this kind of as like a rune farm. It's not too much.
Unfortunately, they do so little health damage to each other that like it takes a while. But
I don't know. It's just fun. It's fun to every now and then just kind of go up there and sit there and go like, okay, cool. And imagine just like all of those little health bars. There were I don't know how many soldiers there were. And
there could
how
be
many
like names everywhere.
Just names all over the place.
But I don't know. I feel like it could maybe work. I just thought it was weird. Like that one specific enemy type had its name for some reason.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if they can do that, then why not do it for more stuff?
Have you been doing like invasions or
like PvP stuff?
Yeah.
I've only did PvP once and it was with KO.
Yeah.
And we did like the, you know, you can like make a password. My password's SMS. So with that password, he can invade me or vice versa. And not to brag, but I actually 3-0'd him.
Pog.
So I am 3-0 overall PvP matches in Elden Ring. Don't mess with me.
And then he gave you all the shield tips.
Oh yeah, he's a honorable man, you know.
Yeah.
In win or defeat.
I would have been butthurt. I was just like, no, I'm not gonna help you.
I'm not gonna give you this small shield knowledge. Fuck you.
I know too much. I should have won.
And you know, it might have been because like I might have been higher level than him or something. I don't know, but
maybe.
Yeah.
Have you had yourself like invaded at all?
No, I don't think it happens unless you like manually.
Yeah.
Set it to happen.
You have to like use the like gold dust or whatever it is. So.
Yeah. And you know, I'm kind of mixed on that because, you know, there were moments in other Souls games where it does sort of just happen randomly.
Yeah.
Where I had a case, like some of the most memorable moments in my Dark Souls 2 playthrough were just random invasions I didn't expect. I was like, ah, I'm not ready for this. Crap, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being like an amazing moment. Because I told the story before, but there was this one time I was entering like a brand new area. It was this poisonous area that was kind of dangerous because if you ran through certain areas, you just get poisoned over time.
Yeah.
And this invader came when I was like in this brand new area. I'm like, okay, whatever. I guess we're fighting now. And I whittle him down to one HP. He just starts booking it. Like he is running full speed through this new area I've never explored before.
Yeah.
I chase him through like half of the area past like stuff I've never been to before. And eventually just like send a spell at him and kill him. And it was just the funniest thing because he's just like he's just running away as fast as he can. And you don't get those moments when those random invasions don't happen anymore. You have to like manually set it up to happen, which you never think to do, obviously. So,
dude, yeah. Random invasions in Dark Souls are horrifying to me. They're just horrifying. They
usually it ends in ruin, but it can be a really funny moment.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, oh, I'm getting invaded. It's like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, like, the majority of the time, it's like some tryhard who has like an insane build and you stand no chance.
I'm just sitting there going, like,
and why would I willingly opt in to getting fucked up by a random dude on the hour? Like, why?
Yeah.
If it's going to happen, just make it totally random, you know?
You're just going through this single player game and then just like, oh, there's this random other player here. It's like, oh fuck, there's another player in my game. It is, you know what? It's very interesting playing just Elden Ring or any of the Dark Souls games and having the like asynchronous gameplay of the outline of another player, right?
Yeah, it's
like
cool.
And it's just like, I know everybody's so used to it at this point, but I was sitting there just like getting ready to start one of the catacombs again. I think it was the catacombs that I was just talking about, like, oh, the boss was a burial watchdog or whatever. And I had died and it reset me, and I was just like, oh, okay, I'm gonna pull this elevator. And I was just standing there waiting, and there was the outline of another player just kind of popped up beside me. We were just like both waiting for this elevator together. And I was just
It's a nice, you know, like they probably can't see you, but it's a nice little moment.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sitting there going like, oh, okay, cool. And then he before my elevator came up, he like rolled onto his elevator that had just gotten up and pressed the button. And I'm like, okay. And then I went and like, we were both like moving together for a sec, and then he disappeared. I'm like, okay.
I don't know. It's so funny when like, someone gets on an elevator before you do, they just start like floating up. And
and you're just kind of sitting there going like, oh, okay.
And cool. Also, checking bloodstains near ledges is the funniest thing ever. Because sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I can survive this drop. I check a bloodstain. Some guys are like standing there. There's like no music. They just silently walk off. It's like, oh, okay.
The
visual of like, a guy just walking off the ledge and there's like no sound feedback. It's so funny to me. It's like, all right, I'm just going to leave now.
Do the bloodstains work for the horses?
Yeah. I mean, occasionally you see them on horses in the bloodstain. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, you just see them walk off the ledge with a horse.
Yeah. Like the first week or so the game was out, bloodstains didn't work for me for some reason.
Yeah. Me neither.
But now they actually work. So it's good.
Cool. Oh, that's good.
And then one last thing, there were a couple bosses I encountered that were literally just mimic fights. There's a mimic enemy that is a standard enemy, like mostly in the underground area. But there's a boss fight where it literally, it's like a Shadow Link fight. It becomes you with all your weapons and your items and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And you would think, oh man, that sounds kind of epic. It's like, you're evenly matched. You're going head to head. You know, it's a test of wits and will.
God, I hate the Dark League fight.
And it's the easiest fucking fight in the world.
Oh, okay.
Because the AI doesn't know what to do. I'm like, okay, I can outsmart the AI. Like fucking.
Yeah.
I think I easily first tried both mimic fights I encountered. And, you know, they're built up to be like these epic, like actual, with a fog gate, real boss fights.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it makes me feel sort of good knowing I can outsmart an AI version of me, so that's good.
With all the same trinkets.
But yeah, you can literally just like spam a move on them they keep rolling. They don't know what to do, and like you just own them.
you gotta make yourself get a heavy roll.
Oh, true. Yeah, you like if you make yourself worse, they're also worse.
Yeah, and then just like give yourself a falchion, and
yep.
Just the or like what's the even worse? I got a what is it? I got the same weapon that the little trolls use, the little gremlins.
Oh yeah, the little like the little curved hook thing.
Yeah, curved hook thing. And yeah. I was just like, oh, I got the curved hook thing. Fine. I'm not going to use this, but that's funny.
It's annoying when they use it, but on you, it sucks. So
yeah, you get this little like dash move. I like equipping every weapon that I get just to see like what FP move or what like just secondary movement you get. But usually with just like little small trinkets, little small daggers or whatever, you just kind of get this like dash. I'm just like, oh, okay, well, that's cool, but I'm not going to use
that. Dude, I have like this badass red hammer that has this move where like you slam it down, charge forward and like lift it back up and it can like launch people into the air.
Oh.
And it also creates fire on the ground around you, which doesn't hurt you, but it hurts other people.
Cool.
And it uses an alarmingly low amount of FP. And there have been a number of AI fights, alarmingly, like maybe like a less than like a centimeter of the meter.
Okay.
And I sometimes on some AI fights, I can just like spam that move over and over again and just win. I just slam it down. Actually, so some enemies, they react to like your sword movement. But the thing is with this move, I think they don't expect the follow-up launch into the air thing that comes afterward.
Sure.
Because I slam it down. They jump backwards and then just run into me like launching them upward. And they fall for a hook, line, and stinker. It's so funny. But like a human obviously wouldn't, so
I'm just using the exact same sword as the red soldiers.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like the red soldiers with the shield, I have the same moveset as them. Where it's just like they can do their like running stab. I can do that. That's like my main move.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting the different move sets that you can get.
It's fun to experiment, but there's definitely like it gets to a point in late game where you sort of get funneled into doing a certain playstyle or else you're going to get owned.
Sure.
So you experiment on like easy stuff, find something that works and then just go from there. So.
And then you can YOLO it against bigger stuff.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I still use just a regular small battle axe against some boss fights just to have the speed of like get a quick swipe and roll away. If I'm using a big ass sword, I often don't have time to like get a long attack in and then finally roll. Like that's too slow for me. So
what's the little battle axe plus?
I have it fully maxed out now. It's plus 25 heavy battle axe. It's all reliable for, you know, if I'm fighting an enemy that I want to like stagger, I will use a big weapon to like stagger them over and over again. But a big ass boss that's never going to get stunned, I just want to get like my quick hits in and then get away. So,
dude, I feel so good whenever I stun a boss.
Oh yeah, like, dude, the stunning them into a riposte, the noise it makes is so satisfying.
Yeah, you're just like I stunned the grafted guy. I stunned, and I was just like good, like. What's funny is that so one thing that I learned is during the grafted fight, when he grabs the dragon, it doesn't reset his like stagger or anything like that. So if you've like been ragging on him before that and you didn't quite stun him, it'll like bleed to the next part. So I just like I think like a couple of my attempts after he got the dragon head as his arm, he like did his one move. I ran up to him, hit him twice, and he stunned. And I'm like, perfect.
Great. Nice.
So it bled over like that. There are some things that just, I don't know. It feels funky to just get to work.
I really enjoyed that fight because it didn't feel cheap like Margit did.
No.
Well, that was a good fight.
See, I don't know. When I returned to Margit, just like I had literally the 100 physical shield is just so fucking insane.
Yeah, if you know how to use it.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I need enough strength to hold this massive shield. It's like, okay, but it's 100 physical. Okay, it's worth it. I'm gonna get however many strength. Good. And then I just have this fucking massive half.
Oh, you use like the big ass shields.
Yeah, I am using a big ass shield.
I just use like a medium shield that has 100 physical resistance.
I had one and I was like, okay. And then I got one of the bigger, like more like higher end soldiery ones that
like a great shield.
I don't know if it's a great shield.
Okay.
But like I'm it's one of the bigger ones and I'm just like, oh, okay, well it blocks more fire. So I'm going to use that.
Yeah, so that's good.
Because you know what? It's fire and physical. That's kind of the only like magic I can dodge. And then I'm good.
Yep. And, physical damage is the most important thing to factor in.
But yeah, some of the areas in Elden Ring are very interesting to go through. And then you're like past it, and then you're just like, oh, where do I go next? And then eventually I'll fall into a. Right now I'm like very open. Like I'm just like I don't know where to be.
Are you going north of Stormvale right now?
Yeah, I'm going north. I ran into there's a gold soldier with an electric sword that. See, while we were talking about the runes, like earning runes, I know that if killing this, there's just a random gold soldier in the environment that I was like kicking his ass, and then he hit me like twice and I died, and I was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
That's fine. And then I went and got my runes back, and I'm like, I don't even care to fight you because I know you're going to give me nothing. So I'm just going to keep going. So like talking about the runes balance or whatever, there's like no value in me even fighting this dude because maybe
it's also like, just like, it's also a balance of like enemies can do just like so much damage in one hit.
Yeah.
I have like over 40 vigor and there's like a certain move that a certain enemy at this point in the game I'm in can just like one shot me still.
Uh huh.
It's like, what the heck? Okay.
It's insane.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, is that all for Elden Ring?
Yeah, I think so. That's about it.
You're pretty close to the end, right?
Yeah, I could probably beat the game like pretty soon right now. I'm just trying to find everything I possibly can. Planning 100%ing it even, like I could probably do that. So
yeah, well, I believe that. To be fair, not. Did you see the tweet where, so it's just like, oh, some Elden Ring invisible walls are.
Oh,
did you link it to me?
I think it's a glitch.
No? Okay.
It was linked in like the Goons Discord.
Yeah,
that's what the empty heads go by now.
There was a tweet just like, oh, hit this one wall 80 times or whatever it was,
it opened. 9,999 health.
Wow.
And I think most invisible walls are coded to have like 9,000 of something else, which makes them just like disappear in one hit.
Uh-huh.
Or like trigger an event of some kind. But I think they forgot to code it properly for this one.
Uh-huh.
And I know exactly where it is in the game. It's a totally optional wall from what I can see. It's just weird that they let that in like that. I don't know.
Yeah. But okay. So maybe because in my head, like I saw that, I don't know any of the follow-up that you had. So I was sitting there going like,
yeah.
Oh, there's shit in this game that nobody's found.
Yeah, I think they probably passed that by now, honestly, whatever that was.
Okay.
Like, I don't even know.
Do you think everything in this game has been found?
There may be some crazy hidden secret for all I know.
Okay.
It's still like month one.
Yeah. Month one. Month one on a video game.
I remember weird? Like, or you're talking just like stuff intended to be found, right? Not even because like obviously there'll be new glitches in the future, obviously.
Well, sure, like found as in like intended by the developers.
Yeah, like every item's been found.
Yeah,
you know what's funny is that like DK64, there was a certain rainbow token or whatever that was found like only in 2016 or something.
Oh,
so that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, I've heard random stuff like that. What was the other game that had that?
No idea.
I there was like, yeah, hearing about like random collectibles however many years later.
Yeah.
Where I think Celeste kind of had that. There was like one thing that people didn't find until like really, really late. I can't remember what exactly it was. But where the developer had to, I don't know if it was Celeste, but the developer had to like tell somebody about it and then they went and got it. I can't remember what the hell.
Oh, wow. I never heard about that. I know that Shadow of the Colossus apparently has like really crazy secrets in it. I've never played that game though.
I've beaten that game, but Shadow of the Colossus is an interesting one because it's like a really open world, but at the same time, it's like the distance between doesn't really matter. Like, you can find random things in the environment, but it's basically just like point A, you're at the, at your lady friend's, place with the horse, and then you ride wherever your sword points, and then you kill the boss, and then you get warped back, and then you go just back and forth and back and forth. But I've never really like openly explored that game, because I was just kind of like, oh, I want to just kind of beat it.
I just remember seeing this video about uncovering these insane secrets in Shadow of the Colossus. I didn't really know what was going on, but I was like, that sounds kind of interesting. So,
whenever you see Shadow of the Colossus, you just see the boss fights.
That's what you think of.
You just think of the boss fights, and you don't think of, but there is this like, there is this world. There is this like fully functional, like there's lizards you can kill. I know that. There's like, if you kill the lizards, you get some sort of collectible, or I can't remember what exactly you get. I know there's somebody that played the Shadow of the Colossus to death and put it at 10 out of 10, maybe top 10 video games of all time. They're just like, what? You don't know what the lizards give you? But like, I don't know what the fuck the lizards give you. Maybe it could be something along the lines as what the, what are they called in Elden Ring? The bugs that roll the balls.
Dung beetles?
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what they're called in real life. I don't know what they're called in the game.
Well, like, there was like the lizards in Dark Souls, like the little crystal lizards.
Yeah, I just call them the twinkling tritonite freaks. I don't know what they're actually called. But
what do you even get from them in Elden Ring?
If it's a white one, you get some kind of Ash of War, a skill to put on your weapon of some kind.
Sure.
If it's a red one, it gives you like some Estus charge.
Okay.
And if it's a blue one, you get some FP Estus charge. So
that's where I'm getting my Estus charge. Just like, where am I getting this Estus charge?
And also, randomly, like in the overworld, sometimes just like killing enemies give you some charges back.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I was just
it makes a noise of like whispering something that I can't tell what it's saying.
So. here's some Estus.
Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Even though it's not called Estus in this game.
I got you, bro.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I got you, bro.
What the fuck are they saying?
They got my back.
Yeah, they do have her back.
Okay, so the one thing that I have podcast related this week, so we talked about Elden Ring,
I thought you had zero things. I'm surprised you have one thing.
Well, I did say I had zero things, so bingo's starting again.
Oh, right.
So this is week two of bingo. We've actually...
And you're actually in the league and in it. You're in it.
Yeah, I'm in the thick of it. I'm in the thick of it. I've been ranked in like the 900 ELO range because I know hundos.
There's a brand new ELO system. I don't even know how they're doing it, but that's cool.
Hey, if you're good, you get ELO. Bigger number, better person for sure. And I was given some sort of like respectable amount of ELO, I think. I don't even know. I don't even know what my ELO's at. I think me and Reed are at the same kind of level, which makes sense. Reed's also in it. But so it's week two of bingo. Super Mario Sunshine Bingo, if you haven't been keeping up. Trey and I participated in season two. It's season four now. Trey and I, you and I commentated yesterday.
Yes, indeed. A really long match that was a nail biter, as we said.
It was a nail biter. It was interesting.
Between Blaze Roll and Google Cheese.
It was fun. It's always nice to... get you to, I've done a couple commentaries so far because last week was the first week and now this is second week, as I'm saying, but getting you to come on a commentary, it takes a load off of me because I know just like, hey, it's Trey. It's easy.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, it's not gonna be some mystery person, you know.
Well, it's just like, I get to talk about Sunshine for an hour about random bullshit. But yeah, so it's week two. It's twitch.tv/sunshinecommunity from Wednesday through Sunday, every week until the end of April, I think.
Wowza.
Maybe a little bit longer than that, depending. I don't actually know. I think they're waiting. I think they want their final week to be the final week in April, but I'm not quite sure.
So it seems like it's not going on nearly as long as the season that we were in.
No.
Because that took like nearly 3 months, I think.
Well, the difference is like we had divisions, right? So it's like one, two, and three. And there, I think there were way more people. when we did it. And this is just like, with the ELO system, it's just kind of conflating everybody together instead of like, oh, you're Division 1 versus you're Division 2. You're trying to get out of Division 2 to go to Division 1. And then next season you'll be in Division 1. And that kind of fell apart, I think.
Yeah, it was weird because they were putting in like people who were actually a lot better than we thought into Div 3.
Yeah.
And they were just whooping everyone. And it's like, oh, I don't know. The system really works that well. So
they're just kind of conflating them instead of keeping everybody separate and then being like, oh, you're actually good. Or, oh, you're at whatever.
ELO, it's a much quicker response time to good gameplay versus you're just kind of stuck in this division until it's over, no matter how good you get. So,
but and also, you can do two matches a week if you want.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so when you're signing up for just like, oh, this coming week, how many matches can you do? And you can do zero, one, or two.
It was tough to do one a week because you would occasionally just have a whole week where you're pretty swamped.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's hard to schedule around that. So,
and you, so this week, this time around, you could be like, well, I have a free week, two this week. And just like, oh,
yeah, I'll get two done this week and then zero the next week.
I have a pretty swamped week next week, zero. And it's just easy peasy. I'm going to be trying to commentate as much as I'm. As I want to, essentially.
I will occasionally sign up for one. I don't know. maybe not a whole lot, but
yeah. I'm not surprised by that. But I mean,
you're a lot more invested, actually, like being in the season in the league. So
I don't know. I just kind of want to lend my commentary chops, as I guess.
It's always fun to just shoot the shit over some sunshine, no matter what it is.
So. Yeah. And I just like trying to like commentate with random different people. Like, so last week I commentated with KO, who we talked about a little bit earlier. And
that's a home run commentary group right there.
And Lego.
Ooh.
It's a
Tricoms? Tricoms?
It's no.
It wasn't? Oh, two, separate things.
Two,
okay.
Two different commentaries.
Okay.
so like the vibes are way different. Not bad.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's like different styles completely.
Yeah, so it's like me talking with KO for an hour and a half versus me talking with Lego for an hour and a half. Very different things are going to happen. Hey, you know what I realized? Lego's kind of a boomer, and we can kind of sing boomer songs together. It's great.
Oh, you can relate over that. That's good.
Yeah, we can relate. And then, but then he didn't know what Twilight, or he didn't know the Twilight Zone references I was spitting out.
Oh, you can't win them all.
You can't win. You can't boomer it up all the time.
I'm not going to know it either.
No, I know you're not going to know. To Serve Man. That's the episode title. Uh-huh. Anybody in the audience, I always like, whenever I try to think of that episode, I'm just like, it's the cookbook. It's the whatever. So there's an episode of Twilight Zone called The Serve Man, and I referenced that, and he didn't know what I was talking about in the moment. And I was just like, oh, okay, damn. But somebody out there knows what I'm talking about, and I love that episode. That's probably one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes.
Nice.
Because I remember sitting there with my mom, and I know you're not, you don't know what I'm talking about, but at the end, he's just like, the whole realization is just like, it's a cookbook! And then
what?
And it's horrifying, but it's also hilarious being from the
that sounds horrifying to me. I don't even know if I can watch that.
But it's all black and white. It's all anyway. Tell you. But yeah, so bingo, that's going on. I haven't been putting my effort in. I want to do some practice with Rasmus. Lately, I haven't really been feeling like doing much.
Yeah, okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how much effort are you putting into learning niche bingo shit right now?
Oh, fucking, like 11, you know? Like,
damn.
So much
beyond
effort.
God maddening. Maldening, sorry.
No, I haven't put any effort in. I did like a couple 96 shines attempts.
I mean, you're playing the game. That's a starter.
Hey, I am actively playing the game.
You know,
somewhat.
Back in the day, just playing the game, you could get by in bingo. Now it's like you gotta learn some niche routing knowledge.
Yeah, it's
to survive out here.
Like at the end of last year, at the end of 2021, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do the Citathon, right? That hasn't happened yet. I'm going to prep for bingo. Bingo's here. Didn't prep for it.
Yep. But what about, hey, what about the Citathon too?
Yeah, that's what I just said. It hasn't happened
yet. Oh, right. That was the first thing you said, yeah.
Citathon hasn't happened yet.
Someday.
Hey, in the coming weeks, according to my channel description, I just need to like...
It's hard because you have to prep all these games at once.
I have to prep all the games at once. And at the same time, it's just like, I don't want to sit at my computer all day and play video games lately.
But that's exactly what you signed up for.
I know.
But why are you doing the marathon in the first place?
It's crazy. I don't know. I just don't feel like it. And it's
you
just
want,
like
you want
a
to do
game.
A marathon, but you don't want to spend all day playing video games.
I know.
So how do you win this?
I can't win this. But yeah, that's that's the bingo update, and I guess the pseudo Citathon update. It's happening at some point when I make Galaxy
much to
not
Sid's,
6 hours long.
Much to Sid's dismay, it's happening.
Much to Sid's dismay, it's happening at some point.
Well, you know, in big speedrunning news that is pretty old at this point, SGDQ is happening in person now.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And actually, this led me to question, well, first of all, so before COVID stuff happened, ADEF and I... We did the 2P1C stuff for Sunshine, two players, one controller.
Mm-hmm.
We prepped a run because we had a good time doing it just casually like a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And actually got like a pretty respectable time, like a 140-something. Sure. It could definitely go down to even like a sub-130 with a lot more practice and runs put into it.
Mm-hmm.
But we went ahead and submitted just that old run from back in the day saying, hey, look, we're back in person. This is like the perfect in-person type run to have. Why not do it? So we submitted that. Also, I submitted an 80% raise along with Reed as like a backup option. So if one of those gets in, that'd be cool.
Cool.
That being said, though, I remember a couple months ago, you bringing up the idea of ESA. Is that still on the table, possibly?
Yeah.
You're thinking of going to ESA?
That's the plan.
Okay, because I haven't heard you mention it like since then. So.
Well, yeah. There's a whole group going... I have to fine tune some details, but yeah, I that's the plan, going to ESA. I did invite you to go.
And when is ESA happening again?
End of July.
Okay. So I was considering if I don't get a run in the GDQ, then possibly go to ESA.
Sure.
But I don't really know yet because I think there's not many people I know going to GDQ. Like, I think some of the EMT heads are going. Not really the good people. So it would make sense to do ESA. But of course, if my GDQ run got in, I'd probably just do that instead.
Yeah, okay.
So
that makes sense.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. See how it plays out.
I know that some people, like, looking through Twitter since the GDQ announcement, I know a few people are being like, yeah, maybe not worth it this time around.
Yeah.
Kind of expensive.
It's also weird because there's, like, a weird rule with the rooms, they can only allow like two to room together.
Oh.
Which is very strange to me. I don't know if it's like a hotel specific rule or like the marathon rule itself.
Yeah.
But that will like double the cost per room because usually you want to like maximize at least four to a room to like minimize how much you're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
But like two to a room, you're doubling the cost that alone. So it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they'll change that. Apparently ESA doesn't have any restrictions whatsoever coming up. Like, not even mask, probably? Or is that still happening?
No. I'm pretty sure there's no restrictions. I don't think it's going to get canceled either.
Famous last words.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Hopefully it doesn't spike up again in cases or something.
Yeah, hopefully not. But at this point, it seems like the restrictions are pretty on the lax side.
Yeah, even at like my workplace, we've been wearing a mask the past year and they just now lifted the mask thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are hopefully looking up. We'll see.
Around here, I went to the Batman last week and
did you enjoy it? Was it good?
It's a long movie.
I've heard mixed reviews about it.
It's a good movie. It's a long movie. But
it's like Elden Ring. It's a big thing.
I totally forgot that I went to the Batman, so I'll talk about the Batman in a second. But so like going to the movie theater for the first time, so the last movie that I saw in theaters was Us, and which is the Jordan Peele spiritual, not spiritual successor, but like the same guy that did Get Out, and I like his movie after that. And I enjoyed Us, but that was however many years ago Us was, and then COVID happened and all that. I have not been in a movie theater since then, and so the difference between watching a movie, right, in a movie theater, and you're just like, you're in your seat, okay, you're watching the movie, okay, there's nothing, you have to have your phone like either silented or off, so not very much input other than the movie itself.
Yep.
So and you can't like pause it to go do anything. You can't hang out.
No, you can just be like, hey, everyone, can we pause it for a second? Just like, you know, I gotta get some popcorn, you know.
Hey, I need to get up. Okay.
Hey, projector person, we need to take five for a second. All right.
Sorry,
everyone.
But no, I that doesn't happen. You can't like treat it as a casual at home thing. And I'm just like,
so wait,
not in
are you going with, is this heading towards you were about to pee your pants?
No. I was perfectly fine.
Okay.
It's just like,
like, where is this going?
I was just sitting there. It just, it's a lot to just sit there for 3 hours straight watching one thing.
I know, in this Zoomer era of like constant distractions, it can be tough.
Like, I used to go to the movies all the time, but like an hour and a half in to the Batman, I'm just like, I'm like leaning forward. I'm just like, this is,
dude, our attention spans have been reduced to rubble.
Well, like my attention span is fine. It's just like, I don't want to sit still for that long anymore. And
that's fair. It's like, you think back to being in school. It's like, how did we do it?
Yeah, true.
How did we sit there for like 7 hours?
And how, so like all the reviews for the Batman were like going into this that I had heard. So like not too many, like I didn't watch any like spoiler reviews or anything. I knew that something at the end was going to happen. And I still don't even know, like people that have watched the Batman, I don't know what happened at the end. Like I don't, it's like, oh, the spoiler is there's somebody that the main villain talks to. It's the Riddler, you know, like the Riddler is the main villain of the.
Yeah, I know the Riddler.
Everybody knows that the Riddler is the main villain of the Batman. But the Riddler talks to another character, and I don't even know who the character was. So
is it some like subtle reference that like comic book fans would get? Or
I don't know, and. Hmm. I know that the not spoiler review talked about it. It's just like, oh, I don't want to spoil it, but he talks to someone. Like he says he talks to someone, and I'm like, I'm still at he talks to someone. I don't know who he talked to.
Interesting.
And that's it. But what was I saying? Oh yeah. So I watched a spoilerless review, and it was just like, oh, the pacing is so incredible for 3 hours. It doesn't feel like 3 hours.
Bullshit.
It does feel like 3 hours. It really fucking does. And it was like a matinee. I watched like, it was like a 2 p.m., like 2 in the afternoon, got out at 5, went home, ate dinner. Like, it wasn't, I stayed out. It wasn't, I went out at 8 p.m. We were going to. I'm so glad that my cousin texted me being like, okay, let's go to the 2 p.m. And I was just like, perfect, because it's 3 hours. And he's just like, oh, shit? And I'm like, yeah. But if we went out at 8 p.m., I would have been dead. I would have just been like, there's no way.
Dude, I feel like, I don't feel like any movie is justified in being 3 hours unless it's like a documentary or something. What has to be 3 hours long to get its point across?
Like, I don't know. I know I'm not a huge hater of the movie. Like, I liked Robert Pattinson in the role. I liked all of the actors. I thought, hey, we got like these D-box seats, right?
Cool.
And the D-box seats are, you sit in them, and with the action, the chair moves.
Woo.
So I was just like,
fancy.
I turned it up to the max level. My cousin had it off for most of the time, except for the car chase. There's a car chase midway through the movie, and I was just like, I was having a blast because it was just going back and forth. Like if a car went up behind another car,
you were just throwing up everywhere because it's like shaking so much.
You'd feel the reverberations. Yeah. No, I wasn't doing that, but it was a fun time. And I was just like, to my cousin, I was like, hey, you should turn it on. It's kind of fun. And he turned it on to one. And I was on three. I was just like getting thrown all over the place. The weird thing about the D-Box, like when it's like an action scene or a car chase, totally applicable, totally made sense. Awesome. But it like randomly, it just kind of, they took a blade out of a tire and my chair moved. And I was like, that, okay, you don't have to do that.
So what you're telling me is they put the GameCube controller rumble in there.
Yeah, they put the
GameCube. Because like in Sunshine, the statue rising, okay, makes sense. A lot of rumble, a lot of crazy things happening. Jumping on somebody, it's like, psh, it's like, dude, I just jumped on somebody. What the fuck?
Exactly. They put that in. And when somebody sat on a motorcycle, like if it wasn't even like, if the camera didn't even follow them, it was just like, oh, they got on a motorcycle and went like off the screen to the left. The chair turned with the motorcycle as if you were,
oh,
like,
shit, that's dope.
That was funny. Somebody got hit by a car. Okay. Somebody was like running across the street, like the camera facing them, like running towards the camera. They were running towards the camera across the street. Uh-huh. And off like the left side of the screen, the car came on and hit them. And the chair like bucked with it. When
did it like this was scare like, you?
It was like a jump scare. It was just I got hit by a random car, but like obviously not as hard. But it was like near the start of the movie, so they haven't really established the shaky chair thing. So I just like got hit by a car and the chair moved, and I was like, whoa, this is weird.
That'd be freaky, but I didn't expect that.
But by far the funniest implement of it is like when they're doing a bird's eye view of like the city or whatever. So it's just like a panning upward shot of just like buildings and stuff. If it's like, it's the camera's moving upward and then looking down at the city and just slowly moving up.
It's a drone shot.
Your chair will just tilt forward very slightly. And I was just like, bro, this is fucky. And so that, I don't know. My biggest experience from the Batman was the D-Box seats were fun. Don't go on an empty stomach, because parts of it I was just kind of like, I don't know, this feels kind of weird, but I got used to it. And the Batman was good. I'm not a big hater. I know that like Ludwig got like a lot of hate for saying that it didn't have enough jokes. I don't give a shit that it didn't have enough jokes. I don't care.
I mean, getting a lot of hate for an opinion on something is one thing, but it's like, I don't know. The whole thing is just stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, can we have opinions anymore?
Well, I know that he just got a lot of hate for it. And
yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just kind of sitting there going like, oh, okay. But I think the Batman was fine. Really long. That's it.
Cool seats.
Cool seats. 10 out of 10.
I'm just picturing, we were going back to the whole pausing during the movie theater meme. What if you just like asked to pause, like, hey, can we pause it? They pause it right when the car crash happens, and it like it pauses the reverberation, so it's like, brrr. It just like constantly keeps shaking. It's like, oh fuck, holy shit, everything's going crazy.
You just have to move to the seat beside. What's funny is that when I showed up to the movie, so we bought like specific seats because they have to like turn them on, so you pick the specific seats that you have to use. And when we got there, there were like kids sitting in them because they just wanted to go to the back row or whatever. They didn't care about like the fact that,
like, hey, kids, you got to move it.
Yeah. Like I sat down in chairs like near them, and I just kind of sat there. I'm like, okay, so I don't know what chair I'm in. I'm probably in like chair. We bought 16 and 17. I think I was in chair like 19 or whatever. And my cousin was coming up, and I was just like, okay, so we have an issue. Okay. So there's this pack of kids in our seats, okay? Or in like they weren't in one of our seats. They were in like chair 16, but not 17. And then
code red, kids in the seats.
Kids in the seats. And I don't know how old these kids were. They were probably like 12. No fucking idea. But I was just sitting there going like, okay, so how do you want to handle this? Like we have to get our seats. And he's just like, does it matter? Like, can we just use any seats? I'm just like, I'm pretty sure. Like I looked over it and I'm just like, there, I see the green light saying that it's on, like, and ours defiantly not off, or defiantly not on, definitely. And
defiantly.
I like using defiantly in replacement of definitely. Yeah, sometimes,
it's funny because it's like the famous typo.
Defiantly.
Yeah.
And So I just like went over to the chair that was on and like tested it. And I was just like, it's like, you can change it. Like the meter's on. And I just leaned over to the kid with my mask on, being like, hey, we bought these seats. So you're gonna have to move. Sorry, bud. And he's just like, oh, okay. And he's just like, got up and like their whole group like moved three seats and I'm just like perfect. And it's just like, and then I got my my cousin over there, but I was just sitting there going like, okay, we got, because they like turned on the specific seats, like if I had known,
it wasn't being used, they didn't turn it on.
Yeah, I wouldn't have, like, if we could go into the movie and then pick our seats based on like, because there's no way the movie theater knows that there's just like a bunch of kids in the back row. Like we would have just picked the ones on the side. It would have been totally fine, but mm-hmm. we didn't know. So I was just like, ah, okay, fuck it. We bought these seats. You got to go. And he's just like, yeah, okay, fair. And that was the only thing going into the movie. And then the chairs moved. And that was
it. Like, whoa.
But like my cousin had it off for most of the movie. So it didn't even matter. You know, I could have sat in mine and he could have sat in the one to the right, but whatever. But yeah, Batman exists.
Cool. And, it exists.
And it was fine.
Yeah, I've never been like a fan of superhero movies, to be honest. I'm just going to go out on this limb right now.
Sure.
Like I've seen like Deadpool and Iron Man and stuff and they're all fine. I'm not even like, I saw Into the Spider-Verse a few months ago and everyone like ranted and raved about how great that was. Animation was amazing. The animation style was insane. Actual movie and plot, though, I was like, eh, you know, it's all right, I guess. I'm just like, I've never been like a super big fan of a superhero movie at any point.
Yeah, I get it. I've never really been either. I saw when all the Marvel movies were coming out, I think I've seen like Thor a few times. And I really enjoy Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man 1, like it was good. I just wasn't like, oh my god, best movie ever. Tony Stark's so sick. Oh my god, yo. You know what I'm saying?
But he eats Burger King that one time.
Oh shit, he does.
Yeah, he eats a Burger King in that one scene. How do you justify not liking that movie as much
How did he survive that toxic sludge of Burger King and live to tell the tale?
He wants some pure American burger.
That's the most unrealistic part. He survived any Burger King.
He's just like, he survived the desert for however many... however long he was, and just like the first thing he gets back, Burger King. That's the most memorable thing about that movie. But I forgot about that actually. I think my favorite Marvel, I don't know. I really like Doctor Strange. I don't know why. I just do. Have you ever seen it?
No.
No.
Whenever Endgame stuff was happening and Marvel was like all the rage,
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to watch all these Marvel movies now. I never got around to it.
Oh. So you,
I thought about it.
You were the opposite. I thought you were about to say it's like, oh, Marvel's all the rage. Fuck these movies. I thought you were gonna pull at me.
No.
The hipster and Sid.
I'm not gonna say whether it was legally or illegally, but I downloaded several movies to watch and just never found the time or the care to do it. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a commitment for sure.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna watch Thor.
I'm going to watch Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe at some point I'll give superhero movie more of a chance at some point.
Yeah. Well, also you don't really have to care anymore.
Yeah, it's just not my genre. It's not my type.
Well, it's also on the wane, you know?
Also. Well, now that it's on the wane, I'll be like the hipstery Sid and like now I'll love it.
Woo! No, that's a Sid. That for sure. That's me.
That'd be a Sid move to be like, oh, Marvel's the best right now. So, you want to know one thing that I never told anybody? It's coming out right now, brand new news in Trey's life.
We got new Trey lore.
So during downtime at work, you know, I'm at work 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. And, you know, you're not working constantly. There's quite a bit of downtime at points. You're not always doing stuff. Well, in that downtime, I decided, hey, you know, I've got into anime recently-ish, a couple years ago. Why not try out manga? You know, manga, the visual reading version of anime we all know and love.
Yeah.
And I was like, what better way to culture myself in the weeb world than reading one of the OGs? I downloaded an app, the Shonen Jump app. It's like $2 a month for like all this big collection of manga to go through.
Can I guess?
Go ahead and guess. You'll never guess it.
One Piece.
No.
Okay.
That's I read all 1,000 chapters of One Piece.
Well, I didn't know if you read it all. I thought you were just starting.
I read all of something.
Oh.
I will give you that hint. Yeah, try to guess again.
Oh, Naruto you won't has a get lot. It. I won't. I don't know enough anime.
Well, you know of this one 100%.
Is it One Punch Man? I don't know.
No.
Okay, I'm out. I don't know.
The original, not even Z, just original Dragon Ball.
Oh, Dragon Ball? Really?
Just Dragon Ball OG. I read the whole thing, all 195 chapters at work.
To be honest, Dragon Ball Z went through my head, but I didn't think you would, like, read that.
Yeah, because for the longest time, people were always like, you haven't seen Dragon Ball? You never watched Dragon Ball Z? I was like, no, I just wasn't into it. As a kid, I wasn't a fan of the anime art style and stuff.
Sure.
Except for, I watched Yu-Gi-Oh! For some reason, but aside from that... I don't know. I loved Yu-Gi-Oh! But Dragon Ball, I just never really watched. And I was like, I know Dragon Ball Z is much more popular, but why don't I learn like the true origin of Akira Toriyama's masterpiece, where it all started? Uh-huh. I'm going to culture myself while I have downtime at work rather than just browsing Twitter or Reddit or whatever I do. I'm going to read some manga and read some Dragon Ball.
Sure.
And you know what? It was a good, wholesome time. I definitely enjoyed it. It was... There were definitely some tropes that I believe sort of became cliche in future animes that were like present in this one.
Sure.
Which may have been groundbreaking at the time. But it was cool learning. I never knew Goku had a tail originally.
Oh, yeah.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool. And then like the turtle master blows up the moon to prevent Goku from becoming his ape shit form. Just this. Weird stuff like that. It's like, oh, that's cool. He blew the moon up and nothing happened.
Master Roshi?
Master Roshi, yes. I just call him the Turtle Master.
The Turtle Master. No, that's for... Yeah. See, it's funny. You saying it's just like, oh, I didn't know Goku had a tail. I'm like, yeah. Every Saiyan has a tail when they're born.
Oh, shit. Dude, I didn't even know that. This is lore expanding to me.
This is just like playing me casually as a child. Watching Dragon Ball Z, like, yeah,
kid, I just never thought that action-y stuff was cool. I was like, I always seek out the funny thing. Like, what's the funniest thing to watch?
Uh-huh.
That was kid me.
Rick and Josh,
hella funny. I love that show. Ed, and Eddie, also, like, my favorite cartoon, probably.
I never got in it.
Dude, it's a Canadian show. It should have been all over you.
It should have been all over me. But
dude, Ed and Eddie was such a good show. Oh my god.
Yeah, I never got into it. I was into the Dragon Ball Z and the Inuyasha, and then that was it.
But yeah, you know, I read Dragon Ball. It's just like a big story of power levels the whole way through.
Sure.
Like, it starts out, Goku, he's already, like, pretty unnaturally powerful from the get-go. But then it just gets further and further. As it goes on, he trains with this thing, gets even more powerful. He drinks this poisonous drink that killed 14 out of 14 people who tried it, but it has a small chance of, if your body can fight the immune response, making you even more powerful. He, of course, survives it.
Sure.
Gets even more powerful. He does all this stuff, you know, they get the Dragon Balls at, like, three different points throughout the series. The first wish was for, like, panties.
Perfect.
Because, like, the pig guy, like, Oolong, like, little pig character.
That's his name.
He's, like, he interrupts the enemy by saying, like, I wish for panties or something. Just, like, it has, like, a nice mix of action-y and, like, silly, sort of, like, kid-friendly humor.
Uh-huh.
And then Goku ends up just defeating a god and outclasses God himself. And it makes me wonder, where do you go from there beating a god? Like, what could Dragon Ball Z possibly do?
But I don't remember Dragon Ball. I watched it when I was a kid, and I remember the wish for panties. And
yes,
I remember them traveling around, and Yamcha was more of a character.
Yes.
And... But
what do you mean more of a character? Like, he's more present in this series?
Yeah, than he is in, like, Z.
Yeah, he's definitely in quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember that, but when it becomes Z, I don't remember the god part. There's a god part? Is he still, so like, small Goku? Is he still, like, tiny Goku?
Yeah, just Son Goku. When does he drop the Son prefix? How does that work?
Dragon Ball Z, probably.
What? I don't know. Like, I never got why it was Son Goku from the get-go. Like, what's Son? Like, small? Or
I think it's just, like, a sign of respect.
Oh, okay.
The Son Goku. And it's just like, okay, well, Goku. You're whatever. We're just going to call him Goku.
Anyway, so Piccolo is in the original Dragon Ball. He defeats him. He's like this great demon king, you know? And then when Piccolo dies the first time, he spits out an egg as he's dying, which is his offspring that he tells to specifically train for 3 years to defeat Goku in the next Strongest Under the Heavens tournament.
Sure.
To then take over the world when he defeats Goku, like the strongest person in the world.
The next Piccolo.
Yeah, the Piccolo Junior or whatever they call him.
Sure. Well, they call him Piccolo.
There's this whole thing about when Piccolo was created, it was like an offshoot of when this person became a god, an evil side had to come out as well. That's why God looks like an old version of Piccolo. And God even like is willing to chip in to help Goku defeat the Piccolo offspring. And Goku's like, no, I must do it myself. You know, as a martial artist, I must do it.
Sure.
And then through one thing or another, Goku is basically like stronger than this god, and then just defeats. Well, he has an opportunity to kill him, but he spares him out of, I forget the reason why. And then he's like, I will come back to defeat you in the future, which probably sets up for Z. I don't know. But yeah.
I don't remember any of the god stuff.
I don't know. It's just you got like a fun crew going around the world doing shit.
Yeah. I have the visual of Piccolo spitting up the egg, the other Piccolo, because I feel like they replay that over and over again in Z.
He spits up multiple eggs when he's in his old form, like the first version of Piccolo, and he names everyone after instruments. Like, I will call you drum and you are tambourine. Like the least threatening names ever.
Uh-huh.
And he like sends him out to defeat the other people, and he's like, oh my god, Goku defeated both of them. What the fuck?
What?
And then
it's crazy.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm finally getting cultured, I guess.
I did not expect that.
I knew it was out of left field.
Yeah, definitely out of left field. Like, oh, I've been getting an anime. It's like, what have you been watching at work? Oh, I've been reading. It's like, oh.
Oh yeah, because it's a lot more conducive to a work environment, just like reading something.
Yeah, you just flip through your phone.
And it's a nice app. Just like you can flip through. They don't have everything. They just have like a lot of like the more popular ones on there.
Yeah.
I will probably get to Z at some point, but right now I've actually just just started an anime I never heard of before called like Jujutsu Kaisen or something.
Okay.
And it had a high rating on my anime list. I was like, I'll check it out. So.
All right.
So basically, I'm using my time at work to read mangas of animes that I would get to if I had more free time, but probably wouldn't get to at some point.
Uh-huh.
Just to like, you know, optimize my consuming of media-ness.
Do you want to watch Dragon Ball now?
I mean, I'm sure, because like when I read the stuff, I sort of give each character my own interpretation of their voice.
Yeah.
And I am curious how similar my voice I gave them is to the actual show.
Would you watch the sub or the dub?
Oof, I feel like with a thing as popular as Dragon Ball, it's got to have good dubs, right?
I'm pretty sure it has. I don't know what like an actual anime fan would say, but I, you know what, growing up, I was perfectly okay with the dub.
Like, to be fair, every anime I've seen thus far, I always watch the sub because the dub always just sounds weird to me.
Yeah.
But I always check the dub out first. It like, does it annoy me? Does it not? If it doesn't, I go with it. He always does, though. So
oh, yeah.
I always go with the sub. So that's just my litmus test.
But yeah, I was very surprised by that. I think we can just kind of wrap up. I watched the Batman. Yeah. You read Dragon Ball. I think Batman was good. You think Dragon Ball was good.
Yeah, Dragon Ball's good. I think it holds up. So
hey, Batman, sure. I think everybody should see it, but just be ready for 3 hours of sitting. Be ready for
it. Oh, man. I don't know if I can sit for 3 hours straight, bro.
Hey, we've been sitting for almost an hour 40.
That's the joke. I've been sitting in this chair longer than that already today. So.
Well, you know what, Trey? Let's get out of our chairs. Everybody have a nice week. Thanks for listening to the Video Games Are Hard podcast. Again, Spotify, Google Play, or Google Podcasts.
Podcast. Thank you.
Google Podcasts. Sid and Trey on YouTube. And we'll be back next week with a guest.
Indeed.
And yeah, this has been episode 39. This has been Cedric Williams and Average Trey. Bye, everybody.